In Czech Books this week, David Vaughan meets the poet and novelist Olga Valo. In recent years, she's become something of a literary phenomenon in the Czech Republic, even though she was over 50 when her first novel was published in 1998. Prior to that, she was better known as a translator and dubbing director, a career which she describes as a form of inner emigration from communism. Her novels are strongly autobiographical, and Václav Havel has described them as a way of tracing the path which our nation travelled not so long ago.
The path that Václav Havel refers to can now also be traced by English readers, as Olga Valo's novel, Tightrope, A Bohemian Tale, has just been published in English translation. When Olga came to the studio, we talked about the book, but we began on a completely different subject. Like so many of the writers we have interviewed for this program, Olga Valo has a link to Radio Prague. It's no coincidence that she has the same surname as one of our first announcers, way back in the 1930s, Zdenka Valo. I couldn't resist asking Olga about the connection, and I even managed to find a recording of Zdenka Valo in the radio archive.
Hallo? Praha, Brno, Bratislava, Košice, Moravská Ostrava, Praha, Strašnice. Přejeme dobrý večer a vysíláme zprávy Československé tiskové kanceláře.
Zdenka Valo was a second wife of my grandfather. I am very sorry I have no opportunity to meet her because of, you say?
Because the tragedy of Zdenka Valo was that during the wartime occupation she was sent to Auschwitz because she was of Jewish origin and perished.
Zdenka Valo was a very interesting personality and a gifted person. She presented her program, I believe, in 2 or 3 or 4 languages. She was very devoted to her mother. Her mother was only 15 or 16 years older than her. She was a very young mother. And these two girls, practically girls, spent all their life together. And Zdenka followed her mother voluntarily to Terezín and Auschwitz too.
Because she was herself, she was only half Jewish, so in fact she didn't have to go, did she?
Yes, she was only half Jewish and was married with a Christian man, my grandfather.
Today, all that is left to remind us of Zdenka Valo at Czech Radio is a plaque bearing her name on a list of radio staff who were killed in the war by the entrance to the main radio building. Although Olga Valo has not yet written about her step-grandmother, she does plan to in the future. Her complicated and unusual family colours nearly all her writing. But perhaps, she says, having a complicated family is part of what it means to be Czech.
I am afraid family history of a majority of families in Czech Republic is a bit complicated because of history of this country at all. But this, our family story, is a story of outcasts.
How do you mean that?
It is a story of outcasts, of different types of being outcast. But there is a Czech proverb, and I'm not sure to translate it exactly. The raven or the crow sit beside the other crow.
The outcasts find one another.
Yes, outcasts find. Yes.
In the second half of the 20th century, to be an outcast in a totalitarian society as Czechoslovakia was particularly difficult, wasn't it? It didn't really tolerate eccentrics.
Definitely, because if there is some freedom, there is some open space to be eccentric a bit. But in a totalitarian system, you should be black or white. It's impossible to live in such a sharp distinction.
And we're here to talk primarily about your book, Tightrope, A Bohemian Tale, which was published very recently, in November 2010, in English translation. This book is very much telling the story of your life as a girl growing up in Bohemia, in Czechoslovakia, in the 1950s. Perhaps we could start with a short extract. Your mother was an actress, your father a film and theatre director.
Yes.
So let's just hear a very brief extract about your mother.
My mother was an actress who did not want to act. In our Prague apartment, an old oak wardrobe hides a large cardboard box. On the cover it says, sugar cubes, 25 kilos. It is full of makeup. Talcum powders, eyeshadows, grease paint, powder puffs, mineral jelly, a mirror sticky with all of them, along with the sweat and dust of actors' changing rooms. Maminka sometimes, but seldom, opens the box and dives into its smell, as if it were a tunnel to a hidden paradise. There was a mystical divide somewhere in time. The ugly box is material evidence of this. Once, Maminka was truly, but truly beautiful, and gifted, of course. Now, in the time after that, eaten away into regrettable rags of incomprehensible cinders, there is no reason any more to put this truth to the test. Now Maminka doesn't want to go anywhere. She doesn't want to eat, either.
And in that extract, it talks about your mother as an actress who didn't want to act. What happened?
I don't know what happened. She didn't want to act. The story of my mother is in this novel. I could not answer.
Because it's the complexity of it is the content of the novel.
Yes, it's the enigma for me till this time. So I could not simply answer. Sorry.
The book is, in a sense, an attempt to answer that, though, isn't it? And it's also an attempt to answer your... what seems to be a very complicated relationship that you had with both your parents and with your broader family and with the time you were living in.
On one side, my father was a communist, a commie, a very red one and a very sincere one, but it's not excuse, it's just a fact. And a film director of very red movies. On the other side, he was for the origin of grand bourgeoisie. And it was very complicated at this time. On the other side, my mother was of farmer's origin.
But they were very much wealthy farmers, weren't they?
With quite a big farm. It was not such a big. It was just middle estate, less than 100 hectares. There were hard-laboring farmers. But after the year 48, they became the enemies.
After the communist takeover.
After the communist takeover, yeah.
And the farm sort of takes over a central role, really, in your book, doesn't it? It becomes a character, in a sense, in itself in the book, doesn't it?
In my book, in my mind, too. In my mind and in all my life, this hidden history, the hidden history of farmers. It is a story, forgotten story, I believe.
It's very clear from the book that you grew up with a very close relationship to the natural and to the agricultural world. Let's just have another extract here. This is describing your enjoyment of the cherries at the farm.
The cherries are beautiful and there are loads of them. I absorb the orgies of plenty, somewhere there above the ladder, picking them right from the branches with my mouth, spitting the stones all round, taking aim randomly. The juice splashing and flowing down. I'm wonderfully sticky and dirty. Just a little below me, on a rung of the ladder, lurks a singing and reproachful futility, because I should be doing something proper. Something should be created by now. My father has made his living by writing ever since he was 13, and I will be 13 in a few days. My father knows this very well. When he looks at me, his eyes are silent, hopeless.
My father understands himself as a poet, as a creative person. And I am afraid he did not make a distinction between himself and me. And he saw myself as a part of himself. And it was unbearable. Do something not useful in material way, but something great, something important, something meaningful. It's a very funny task for a little girl, 10 or 9 or 11 years old.
In terms of the language of the novel, there are some quite big jumps, aren't there, between sort of the language of philosophy and the language of the child and the language of the countryside. And the language of communism as well.
And language of communism. Language of communism is an important part of this, because one of big conflicts here is the conflict with a communist school, of a communist system of education.
Children, education is the foundation stone. I'm sorry for you. You're all victims of your parents. But don't worry, your children will no longer have such experiences. You will live in large collective houses and will do everything together. Cooking, ironing, washing, everything. And shooting. We've already started that, says Michael von Dobrowitz.
This book, Tightrope, it's published at the end of last year. It's beautifully produced. It also includes very useful notes that explain some of the specifically Czech aspects of the context of the story. And there's also a map showing where the farm is. Tell me, how did this book come about? It's very interesting, the fact that it was published in Hong Kong.
It happened by purely coincidence. I was invited like a guest on a workshop by Hong Kong Baptist University, and the team was the writers of Eastern Europe. I was there as a representative of Czech Republic, and it was really a great experience for me, because of Hong Kong is a very special nation. And I was very lucky to meet there Gillian Bickley of Proverse Publishing House, and especially the question of education in communism was really interesting for her, because she's an academic with a great experience in university of I believe 3 or 4 continents. The way how the English text was born, it is a story of its own.
It was actually translated by a team, wasn't it? And then it was edited by Gillian Bickley.
I said to Gillian, it's impossible to translate it. It's extremely difficult text. It's not so easy. And Gillian says, so try it. It was a challenge for me, and so I address all of my friends and non-friends who was English speaking, and I ask them to try to translate one chapter or two chapters, and two of them went on with the work, with the labor, and I'm very grateful to them.
We're out of time, but I would like to say again that Tightrope, A Bohemian Tale by Olga Valor, my guest in the studio today, is published by Proverse Hong Kong, and you can buy it through the internet, through Amazon. Olga Valor, thank you very much indeed for coming to the studio. Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation.